Mully and Hall. Up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
We go ham.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
After last night's strong outing, is John Lester back?
I think that you feel relieved that you saw the guy that you remembered. 13 earned runs in his three previous starts. That was not the John Lester that we're used to seeing. He goes through this a little bit every year, and maybe this was his lull, and now he's out of it. And I thought that he had really good command, and it wasn't an overwhelming, complete game, anything like that, but it was good enough, and it was reassuring more than anything. So when you go six innings and you give up two runs and you strike out seven and you don't walk anybody, that's the John Lester the Cubs need to see.
Mully and Hall.
I think they're kind of kindred spirits in a sense.
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
Driven to right, that's big trouble. Into the well goes Markakis. It is gone, 1-0 Chicago. John Tompain is warning everybody. Julio Teheran talking with Contreras as he went around the bases. And here we go in Chicago. And Tyler Flowers, a la Brian McCann and Carlos Gomez, took exception, and he wanted a piece of the Cubs catcher.
Was Wilson Contreras justified in talking a little trash after his home run?
The truth of the matter is his emotions got the best of him, and as John Lester said, it is what it is. This is who Wilson Contreras is, and over time, I think you think 27-year-old right now, just turned 27, and at some point, he may learn to harness this emotion a bit more, but at least he's learned how to channel it.
Mully and Hall.
It's a hell of a team.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Kelly Kroll is in for Mike Mulligan today. Kelly was at the Cubs game last night covering for NBC Sports Chicago, and the voice you heard was a familiar one, too. Chip Carey for Fox Sports South. And Chip actually will be a guest on the show on Thursday morning. He is in town enjoying his return to Chicago, I am sure, although last night was not a good night for the Braves. They were losers 8-3. The Cubs get a home run, a big home run from Wilson Contreras, Kelly, and that will be what people are talking about mostly today because of the reaction, because of the brouhaha, because of Wilson Contreras being Wilson Contreras. And you can hear him on the station today with Lawrence Holmes at noon.
Will that carry over to tonight? You ask me earlier in the show. I say no. What do you think?
I think that it's inevitable, the intensity of this series. It's a four-game series.
Yeah.
So I wonder that combined with the fact that, Chris Bryant got hit again. and
was not happy about it. And you could tell. But
how could you tell? You were right.
How could you tell? Well, I think we know the demeanor. Yeah. Or most of us have seen the demeanor of Chris Bryant, who have watched Cubs games.
He's frustrated by the fact that he's getting
plunked. And I think
what
was scary about that one was how high it was. I mean, that one, if he doesn't bring his shoulder in towards his neck and his head, I mean, that one's coming close to his helmet again. It looked a lot like last year. And that's what Joe Madden brought up, the count, 2-1 count. They're trying to go in on him, and that's what they're trying to do to any and everyone at that point. But I just, KB, just you could tell because he paused there for a moment, kind of shook the head, put the bat down. He was slow to walk over to first, just like, here we go again, right? Shaking his head almost when he saw Will Venable up there first.
And with Dansby Swanson at shortstop and Josh Donaldson in the lineup, you never know what you're going to get out of this Braves team. They're a little chippy. They're a first-place team.
They are. It's made for already a fun series. You knew it was going to be fun coming into top teams in their division. And now, you got a little bit of Wilson Contreras chirping and demonstrative in his celebration.
And tonight you have the first Major League start of Adbert Alzolay. He goes against Max Fried, who was Lucas Giolito's high school teammate. That's an interesting little side note about his background. But you get Braves and Cubs tonight. Kelly, you were there last night before the game as well, and you sound great for having much sleep. Because you pretty much came straight from Wrigley to here, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much how it went. A couple of the beat writers are like, I wouldn't even go to sleep if I were you.
Yeah, that's the hardest part, is getting to sleep when you have to get up that early. But you were there before the game as well. And I thought it was interesting. Theo Epstein did cover a couple things, which we've been talking about a lot before the Wilson Contreras home run and that controversy. Craig Kimbrell pitches tonight for Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
If everything goes well, this is likely his last start at AAA. Could he be part of this series before it's all said and done? Meaning, could he be here Thursday?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the absolute possibility. I think, obviously, if it goes well again tonight, they'll sit down, they'll talk with him, they'll plan things out. He'll probably have a say in it, too. I mean, knowing him, he'll want it as soon as he possibly can. Absolutely. But maybe it's a little, I don't know, for a guy like Craig Kimbrell, do you talk about it being easier to start on the road versus at home?
No.
I don't think so.
I think you want it to start. You want him to make his debut almost at home.
I would think so.
He's been open about how much adrenaline fuels him, how much he wants. That's why he picked the Cubs.
Yes.
He had an opportunity probably to make a little bit more money with the Rays, perhaps. Maybe other contracts were better, maybe. But the appeal of Wrigley Field, a full house, being in the middle of a night like last night, mm-hmm. of a night like Javi Baez hitting a home run, he wants to be part of that sooner rather than later.
I can't wait to see that like arm dangling at Wrigley Field. I just think that for Cubs fans, that's going to be so cool. And just again, for baseball fans to see one of the best in the game finally back out there. I mean, I had an interesting conversation. I hadn't spoken to Jason Hayward since Craig Kimbrell had his introduction, and
since
he mentioned
the text.
So I wanted Jason Hayward's side of the story, and I thought, you know, he's like, what a great teammate, one of the best guys I've been around. And I felt like, he goes, I didn't hit him up as much as he makes it sound. I texted him at the beginning of the year, then kind of just kept in touch with him as to how he was doing in the family. And then when I heard that the Cubs were in talks with him, I felt like I should reach out one more time and just tell him how he deserves to play at a place like this, for an organization like this and a fan base like this. And he was very strong. I mean, Jason's always very insightful, but very strong in how he stated Kimbrell deserved this opportunity to be with a chance to win again.
And you were there the day that Craig Kimbrell was introduced in the interview room in the clubhouse. And you remember, it really left an impression with me. And a lot of guys do this, but this is a guy who's accomplished a lot in baseball.
Yes.
Made a lot of money. Also has had a lot of success. He's got Hall of Fame worthy credentials. That's a discussion for whenever he retires. But there he is with his family in the first row, like a kid who was a draft pick appearing in his new team for the first time, like Kobe White yesterday, like Kirby Dock yesterday, posing with his family. His family's in the first row. And it reinforced how, number one, how much that means to him.
Yep.
And how much that must have played a role in while he sat out, the support system he still had. And the Cubs were getting a guy whose character was as impressive as his stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think you if you talked to him, and you did, that was what you were left with. I mean, this is a guy that's going to fit in well in that clubhouse.
Yeah, without a doubt. The character and just the personality you took from those few minutes of him being up there. And you're right. And I think that's why Jason Hayward, and you hear it over and over again, I think the Cubs go over and beyond to take care of the families. And so for guys like Craig Kimbrell, and I remember thinking to myself, bless her heart, his wife got up not even 30 seconds into him being introed because their youngest, who is an infant, started getting fussy. And she gets up and walks to that bathroom that's just off to the side of the press conference room there at Wrigley Field. And you could hear the poor little one still so upset in the bathroom. And you could almost sense on Craig's face, like, yep, that's about right. Perfect timing, you know. That's how it works.
That's a real situation.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it just made it so real in that moment. You see the human beyond the baseball player.
So a couple other things that Theo talked about before the game. He mentioned, obviously, Kimbrell's timetable and the expectations. It could be as early as this week, could be Thursday. He also gave an update on Carl Edwards Jr., who threw from 120 feet and could throw a bullpen session before the end of this week. Kyle Hendricks, Kelly, was
15 pitches? Light. They called it like a light mound.
Is that just to see how much pain he was in, discomfort?
I think it's just to pick up a baseball.
Okay.
Yeah, and just kind of get a sense for...
Realistic timetable for him, you think?
Certainly another side session or two, and I don't know if there will even be a rehab stint or not for him.
Level of concern?
Low.
Very. Really?
Yeah.
So you think this is just something he is going through? Because... You heard Jed Hoyer use the word impingement. You heard Theo talk about That's a something that
when that's you, Jed being smart, isn't it? I'm just kidding. I didn't get the sense because I spoke with Kyle, and the way he played it down made me feel like he would be more. Kyle's pretty transparent, and if it were something a little bit more than that, I think he would have been a little more reserved in the way he made it sound like this was no big deal whatsoever. I don't know. I don't think he'll start though before the All-Star break.
Theo talked about Ian Happ needing to do some more things at AAA with his swing. He also mentioned Brandon Morrow. Do you think we'll see either one of them in a Cub uniform this year?
I do think we'll see Ian Happ, especially when rosters expand, for sure, without a doubt. Does that count as the year when you ask that question?
Will he contribute to the, you know, to the pennant race?
Yes. And then I don't know what to think about Brandon Morrow. So two side sessions now in Arizona, a third one that's being thrown either tonight and or tomorrow. And then if he feels good, they're going to put him back out there in action. And so, boy, I mean, what that would mean to the Cubs bullpen if they had him as well as Craig Kimbrell. I know. Are you looking at me like pump the brakes now?
I'm saying pump the brakes. If it were to happen,
that really, boy, does that make your bullpen look stout.
I want to agree with you, and I want to say, yeah, but every time that you, in the past, I just don't know that we can count on anything from him.
I don't know
tomorrow.
That you can either.
Yeah,
I
as sad as that is, as good as he could be.
For the sake of any guy in the game, I hope he's healthy.
Right.
Right?
Yep. He is definitely, it could be an asset, but I just don't know if he's going to be able to get back on the mound. She's Kelly Kroll in for Mike Mulligan today, and we are going to talk next with Len Casper, who will tell us what he thinks about what happened last night at Wrigley Field. Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Here it comes.
Len Casper.
Davis in the air.
TV play-by-play man.
Can you bunt the ball on the wavelength? That's my question.
Way out of here. Hello, Sheffield.
Kevin Hart is here.
I'm going to tell you, because I don't know if anybody else has ever told you, you have an amazing voice, man. Goodness.
Thank you. Like got to hear him sing.
It's like a dove. If a dove could talk, this is what it would sound like. Yeah, that's
never been told that.
Twitter.com/Len Casper.
Oh, baby, Chris Bryant.
Len Casper, talking Cubs with Mullen Haw.
Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Kelly Kroll is in this morning for Mike Mulligan. We're pleased to welcome Len Casper, who joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Len. How was last night for you?
Hey, David, Kelly. Everything's good. Nice win last night, and good to see the offense bust out with that big five-run fifth.
Yes, it was, and John Lester looked like John Lester after a couple of rough outings. He certainly was in command, but everyone's talking this morning about the Wilson Contreras brouhaha, Len, and I don't know if JD has ever threatened to punch another player in the booth like maybe Jeff Francoeur did Wilson Contreras, but certainly their emotions were high. That doesn't surprise anybody who has watched Wilson Contreras. The question would be, do you expect that to carry over and spill into today, because this is a Braves team that's a little chippy, and they also are very good.
Yeah, I mean, the three games to go, the benches have cleared, and they had a little disagreement in Atlanta in April as well. And the Braves, as you say, they can get a little chippy at times. I guess I'd be surprised if it continues. I wouldn't say it was a misunderstanding, but you know, I think Flowers may have been taking it more lightly than Contreras was. I think when you're having a discussion with an umpire, the last thing you want to hear is a guy from the other team to chime in. We know Wilson is emotional, and then the next pitch he hits a home run, he's obviously going to be pretty pumped up. So it does happen. I think Kelly did a great job with the post-game interview on our air, and Wilson basically said that, you know, basically I care about my teammates. I'm not really worried about the other team. And, you know, he's a guy you love having on your team. I think he can be a thorn in the side if you're on the other side of it. But the bottom line is he's an all-star caliber player, and he's a Cub. And I think everyone's thrilled that he's not going to take any grief from anybody.
Lynn, I appreciate you saying that, and also just the way you explained that I thought was really well done. How do you, switching gears for just a second, we brought up earlier in the morning John Lester. How do you evaluate his start and where he is right now? I think the question we were posing is he back? What do you think?
Well, it's been a weird year for John. You know, he got off to that great start, and typically when, you know, guys putting up an ERA of one over you know, any length of time, you might be getting a little luck. You know, he was pitching well, but maybe not that well. And then when it turned around and he started to struggle, I don't think he was pitching as poorly as his ERA would have indicated during that stretch, you know, about seven. So I think the truth is usually somewhere in the middle. Obviously, the home run ball has been a problem for him. I thought he kept the ball down really well last night. With launch angle and all of that stuff, you know, obviously elevating the ball is what a lot of pitchers are doing, but if you miss your spot, you're going to get hurt. And for John, the other thing is you've got to get those calls on the edges, and I get it. You know, a 1-1 count becomes 2-1, or a 2-0 becomes 3-0. If you don't get the call that you think you should get, it can really put you at a disadvantage. So, you know, I think the stuff generally has been really good this year. He competes so hard, and I think that's the biggest compliment you can pay a guy like John, is that he doesn't crater even when he gets behind in the count and behind in the game. You feel like he's going to battle on every pitch. And there have been a couple of starts where he hasn't been at his best, but he's found a way to get it done and keep his team in the game. And last night, thought he was really good throughout and got out of a couple of jams and held that lead, even when it was 7-0, when the Braves started to threaten and the error was made, I think, in the sixth inning. You know, that thing could have really blown up because that lineup is very deep, and he was able to limit the damage, and that's why the Cubs won the game.
He's Lynn Casper, brought to you by Miracle, the musical inspired by the Chicago Cubs. And Lynn, I really enjoyed you guys working in Doug Glanville into the conversation last night. You guys were talking about the Mets situation and the Mickey Callaway outburst when the Cubs had an outburst of their own and started to score some runs. But I wanted to ask you to spin forward to tonight. Albert Alzolay makes his major league debut as a starter. This is his first major league start tonight. How important is this in the context of the Cubs' rotation, do you think, and what are your expectations for him, given what you saw in his debut last week?
It's going to be a lot of fun. He was so good out of the bullpen. This is a little different because now he gets to sleep on it and knows that he's going to throw the first pitch of the night. The stuff is excellent. The mound presence was great. The tip of the cap when he came off the field is something that has kind of lingered in a fun way among his teammates. Clearly, he can be a pretty important piece here in the second half. You know, and he could buy himself another start depending on how well he pitches. I don't think that they want to put any pressure on him. It is just a spot start to give everybody a little bit of a breather here with this long stretch of games without off days. But he's been grinding in the minor leagues for a long time. He's had some injuries the last couple of years. And I think he feels that it's his time to be here. And I'm guessing his mindset is, I don't ever want to go back to the minor leagues. And you never know. That's the great thing about this game.
For sure. It was funny, Lynn, after the game, even Wilson Contreras, you mentioned the part about he'll have to sleep on this. And Contreras said, I'm not even going to talk to him tonight. I'm going to wait till tomorrow. I really just want him to try and relax and be as calm as possible coming into this. But you brought up earlier, Lynn, the opposite field barrage they had there in the fifth. I thought it was interesting after the game to hear Joe Maddon say, this is the type of team we can be. I don't know, you know, when this eludes us, and then when it comes back, it can disappear, and then it's there. How do they find the consistency? Because clearly they can do this when they, you know, have the opportunity.
Yeah, it was great to see. And, you know, an opposite field hit doesn't count for any more than a ball pulled. But I think it's the idea that, you know, you're not too pull conscious, you don't pull off the ball, and you stick with it. And a couple of those pitches were actually kind of middle in and kind of carved in the other direction and give not only the Cubs a lot of credit for that, but their hitting instructors, Anthony Iaposi and Termell Sledge, who probably spend more hours at the ballpark than anyone in uniform breaking down video and trying to get the best out of their guys. This is a team that largely lives on getting on base and hitting the ball out of the ballpark. But it is nice to know that you've got that in your back pocket, and those are the types of innings that are just devastating for the other team and that pitcher, and they were able to knock Tehran out of the game. And you know, the Braves really needed some length because of an injury the day before to one of their starters. So being able to kind of get in that bullpen early in game one of a four-game series is always important, and to be able to get some looks at some of those bullpen arms they may see later is nice. The bottom line is you try to score as many runs as you can in any way you can do it, and if you string together five or six hits in a row, it's a lot of fun to watch, that's for sure.
Good stuff, Len. Enjoy tonight.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep. See you in a bit.
Len Casper, the voice of the Cubs, talking about last night's game. He's had a couple games in a row, Kelly, and you've been out there as well. Javi's heroics on Sunday.
Yes.
Magnifico!
Wilson Contreras. Definitely last night stole the show. And Zach stole the show back because he's in the booth and he was calling play-by-play. Did a great
Florida
job.
For the W!
Zach Zaman, the Magnifico voice of WSCR in the booth for Pat Hughes, filling in very well. And Joe, when you set expectations for Alzolay tonight and you hear Len talk about having to maybe he could get another start out of this, maybe it's more than one. Maybe it's more than one. You never know. With the six-man rotation and buying time for Kyle Hendricks, maybe there's more at stake tonight than just one more start.
Yeah, if he can give you six against this lineup, as we talked about earlier, really stepping up in class against one of the better offensive units that in the game right now, the youngest and one of the best, you would. What would it take to earn another start? You think he needs to go six?
Two runs, six innings.
Oh, I mean, yeah. If he has a quality start.
Yeah, quality start, I think, could give you confidence that he could do it again.
What if he goes 5 2/3, gives up three runs, strikes out seven?
That sounds like Giolito.
So that'd be good or so-so? What's the sliding scale
so-so
we're using?
It depends on Kyle Hendricks and how he's feeling, right? I mean, at that point, because you know what you're going to get out of Kyle more than likely.
I think if you could buy one more start, get to the All-Star break without having to go back to Hendricks, you preserve that kind of time, give him more time to heal, be conservative with Hendricks, that would be the ideal situation.
And what's in front of them, I should know this, but I know that they've got the White Sox before the break, and don't they head to Cincinnati one more time? So
this weekend.
This weekend.
Aren't you going?
Sorry, one day at a time for me. Oh, you know what I mean?
One pitch at a time, one day at a time.
One day at a time.
You guys at NBC Sports Chicago.
No, I mean, you cannot look ahead at one more day or else you just... I couldn't remember what day of the week it was until you said good Tuesday morning
to everybody.
It's Tuesday,
yeah.
So just hockey's been the thing you've done your whole life?
Yeah, pretty much. I haven't really done anything else other than eat, sleep, and breathe hockey.
Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Kelly Kroll in for Mike Mulligan today. Pleased to welcome in an old friend. Chris Cook joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. And Chris, back in town. Welcome back to town. He now was a senior writer for the Blackhawks, spent a lot of years. You know him from covering the Blackhawks during the glory days and the three cups for the Chicago Tribune, and then recently covered the Capitals for the Athletic out in Washington, D.C. Now he's back home. Welcome back, Chris.
They always come back home, right?
You can always come home again, absolutely, especially when the good hockey is here and looks like the Blackhawks are preparing themselves to play some good hockey again. They make a big trade yesterday. Let's start there before we get to the draft picks of Kirby Dach and what happened yesterday in terms of his whirlwind tour. But Stan Bowman pulled off a deal last night, I think, was sneaky good. I think they have a need, even though they have a lot of defensemen now, they still have a need at the position. And in trading, they traded Anton Forsberg, a goaltender, and Gustav Forsling, a kind of an extra defenseman who was expendable, to the Hurricanes for Calvin DeHaan and a prospect. But Calvin DeHaan, Chris, to me, it represents a guy as a responsible blue liner, a guy that they can plug in right away, and a guy they can learn to count on.
Absolutely. You know, the Blackhawks could not keep the puck out of the net last season, and I think that Stan Bowman looked at his offseason to-do list and was like, okay, let's get some guys who can keep the puck out. I think this is a sneaky good move. This is Calvin DeHaan, a guy, a very solid defenseman, not very flashy offensively, but a really stay-at-home defenseman. He's only 28 years old. He is coming off a shoulder surgery, so we'll see how that that goes. We haven't talked to Stan Bowman yet about the recovery process. But if he comes back strong and healthy, this is a guy who can slot in right to that second pairing and be very dependable, reliable, a guy who's been through some battles. Just a very good move here because Forsling and Forsberg are RFAs who probably weren't going to be around, so you get something really solid for him.
Chris, I haven't had a chance to congratulate you and just welcome you back to town. I'm so excited we'll be seeing your face around again. I'm just glad to have you back here in Chicago. And here I am doing mornings now, so how about that, right? You get to hear
a lot of change. Right, exactly. A lot of change.
Oh, I'm kidding. So we just heard from Kirby Dach and coming into the segment, Eat, Sleep, Breathe Hockey. He can throw a pitch pretty decent. I got to see that last night at Wrigley, and I was just really impressed with, in talking to him for a couple minutes, how well-spoken he is. Confident young kid, hasn't even graduated high school yet. That's coming, but also humble in the same regard. What a realistic expectations for him this season, you think?
You'd love to see him come right in and, you know, be the number three center and a big kid who's ready to go. I'm not sure he's quite there yet. We'll find out. I mean, he's got a whole summer to bulk up, which is whatever at least prospects say, I need to get bigger. He does need to get bigger. He doesn't need to get taller. He's a big kid with a great reach. But he's got to develop a little bit more. You know, they're going to give him every chance they can to, win a job in training camp. And if he doesn't, if he takes a season, remember, Jonathan Toews was the number three overall pick. He spent a season in college before he joined the Blackhawks, and look how that turned out. So give him some time to develop, but if there's a chance to make the team, Blackhawks are going to give it to him. But this is a kid who I really like it. You know, it's a bit of a gamble, right, because they had the number three pick, and there was a defenseman out there, Bowen Byram, who everybody was saying slot right in, be the defenseman for, you know, backbone on the defense for a lot of seasons. But I think Stan Bowman and Mark Kelly, director of scouting, said, we've got a high ceiling here. Let's go for it. And I think that Kirby Dach is a guy who, you know, there's a lot of comparisons, Ryan Getzlaff. And, you know, if that turns out to be a Ryan Getzlaff type move, Blackhawks are going to be set for a lot of seasons.
Talking with Chris Cook on Mullion Haw with Kelly Kroll, sitting in for Mike Mulligan today. And Chris is an old friend and a new job senior writer for the Blackhawks. And, Chris, yesterday you mentioned Kirby Dach. His day started at 7 o'clock in the morning when a car picked him up at the hotel. He went to WGN. He went to Fox 32. He went to Blackhawks hockey camp. He talked to kids. He had a press conference at 11 o'clock. Then he went to ESPN. He talked to ESPN Radio. He talked to the Score. He visited the Score. He talked to WGN Radio. Then he went to Wrigley Field and he threw out the first pitch. Through it all, I heard several of those interviews, and I saw him handle himself. He's 18 years old. And yet he came across as a guy pretty polished, pretty together, pretty composed. What was your takeaway from the day that was and the whirlwind that he went through?
Yeah, I was gassed just covering the news conference. And then he kept going. It was this is a kid, you can't beat enthusiasm. And this is a guy who I was really impressed with him right after he was drafted. I got him alone for a few minutes. And he was just talking about how what really impressed me is his knowledge of the game at this age. Mm-hmm. And he said that, it's kind of weird. It's just hockey's always just come to me. So the game's always come to me. I'm able to see it a little bit differently than other players at my age. And I think that's really something special. Those are the special hockey players, right? The guys who can see the game as it unfolds. And I think that this is a chance for the Blackhawks to bring in a guy like that. I really like his hockey acumen. Obviously, the physical skills are going to be there. He fills out, and this is a kid, as you mentioned, head on his shoulders. He had a great family, and yeah, lives, breathes hockey and a little baseball last night, right, Kelly? I didn't see the pitch, but I understand it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, he was nervous. It was sweet. I mean, he was.
She's so polite.
No, he said it to me. He said, I was nervous doing that. And I think in general, getting out there on the mound, and there were quite a few people at Wrigley early last night, a big buzz, obviously, with Atlanta in town. And so, yeah, I think he was a little nervous, but he came through. And I got a kick out of two being he was in the booth with Lynn and JD, and he was asked to sort of give his own scouting report of himself. And the way he broke down who he is as a player, it left Jim Deshaies being like, buddy, you could step into the booth right now. I mean, you're that good. And so we were really impressed with him. But switching gears a little bit, Chris, I know with free agency around the corner, how aggressive do you think the Hawks will be? What other moves could be in front of them? What else do you see coming from the team?
I think we're seeing that Stan Bowman's got a little salary cap move room there, and he hasn't had that in a lot of seasons. So I think that it's clear that Stan is maybe kind of going the trade route to bring in some players, and you can do that when you've got some depth on defense like they've got some younger guys. I do think he's going to want to bring in a forward that can kind of add to the scoring punch right away. You know, there's some names out there, but if I'm looking at the Blackhawks, I'm thinking they're going to do what they're most damage through some trades, and that could be anybody, right? That's Stan Bowman. He's pretty tight-lipped about things. I think they will be active. You know, it's just not acceptable these days in Chicago to miss the playoffs like that, and the Blackhawks realize that, and once they got a little room under that cap, something they haven't had, they're being very aggressive.
So, Chris, the defensemen, I mean, they're stockpiling defensemen, so that's a need that they're addressing via trade, and they've done a nice job of doing that. They've got Mata. They made the trade yesterday with the Hurricanes, and now with free agency, with the space they have, I have to wonder, a couple names stand out. Artemi Panarin, obviously, he's out there. I think he's visiting with Florida this week. The Joe Quenneville-Dale Talon connection makes a lot of sense. Then also Joe Pavelski's a name that I've seen bandied about. Those are big names. Are the Hawks involved with any big names?
I don't have any inside knowledge on Panarin, but I can pretty much tell you I don't think that's happening just from things I've heard throughout the league. I think Artemi's going to go elsewhere. I think Florida's a very good fit for him. Joe Pavelski, to me, would be a perfect fit for the Blackhawks. A veteran who can come in, still got a lot of miles in that tank. I really feel that he could come and be a leader. He can add some punch. Imagine him, you know, skating alongside, you know, Patrick Kane. Imagine that. It would be pretty amazing if I'm the Blackhawks to bring in a veteran like that. And if you're the Blackhawks, you believe you're only a player or two away, he's the type of player who can get you over the hump and get you into the postseason. As the Blues, you know, taught us, once you're in, anything can happen. So, yeah, that would be a move I would make if I was Stan Bowman. I would go Joe Pavelski, but there's a lot of names out there. Stan is, I know he's been working the phones. Every time I see him, you know, in a hallway, he's got his phone to his ear. So I think that there is probably going to be a move or two coming, and we'll find out how big they're going to be and what kind of impact they'll have.
Chris, I love the image of you walking around the Blackhawks hallways with seeing Stan Bowman, and I wonder if their first reaction is to, like, turn the other way and, like, look away.
Like,
after all those years of covering the team, what, before we let you go, real quick, what are you doing now, and how different is it to maybe get on that side of the equation, because things are changing the media. We all know that how things have evolved in newspapers and publications and digital sites, and now you're part of the team that you used to cover for so many years.
I do get a lot of second glances. People will walk in when they're talking, they'll look up and they'll see me and they'll stop talking. They'll realize that, wait a minute, this guy is one of us now, and we can say some things in front of him. It's a different dynamic, David. I won't lie. It's, you know, I've got a way, you know, when you're a journalist and you're, you know, working for a newspaper or The Athletic where I was, you've got to be completely, you know, down the line. You can't root for anybody. You've got to be unbiased. You know, you can't show any bias. And, you know, now I'm with the Blackhawks, but my goal is I'm still going to try to be fair, and I'm going to try to be, you know, break some news. I'm going to try to tell the stories like they are. And it's nice to be kind of on the inside and see how things work. You know, before, when you're outside looking in, you don't understand why certain things don't happen. And now you kind of see why they don't happen. You kind of see the things that people need to go through. So it's been a different dynamic, and I'm still adjusting to it. But I can tell you it's been a great ride so far, and I'm so pumped to be in this role. I'll be writing a lot of in-depth features on the Blackhawks, things that maybe you haven't seen before from a team website. You know, John McDonough and Kempinar, that whole group is saying, here's what we want to do with this website. We want to take it to a next level, things you haven't seen before, and we're going to bring in a staff. We've got Bob Verde there, you know, the great Bob Verde, maybe the best writer, you know, maybe North America. And I've got so much respect for him. Working alongside him and Fred Mitchell, it's a dream for me. And we're really going to bring you some things you haven't seen before. We're so excited about it.
It's great to have you back in town. It's great to talk hockey with you, Chris. Thanks for joining
really
us this morning.
To your work.
Chris Cook, senior writer for the Blackhawks. Have a great day.
Thanks so much.
So we are going to switch gears, Kelly Krull. We're going to get back to baseball at the top of the hour. We're going to talk a little bit of Cubs, a little bit of White Sox. White Sox had a tough night in Boston with playing the Red Sox and losing that game. A 5-3 lead was squandered, and they had some things happen in the ninth inning that are worth discussing. Kelly Krull is in for Mike Mulligan. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.